Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Community of Grace via Facebook Live. So before I get into the Word here, let me make some announcements to you. There's two ways that you can listen to us. You can either go to our webpage at www.icgrace.org, and you can listen to the sermons and the Bible study, which we just finished recording there. You just go to the main page, and then you go to Media, which will be on the toolbar, and click on Media. It'll take you to the page that has the sermons, it has the Bible study, and also there's worship music on there that you can play also, so you can have the whole experience there in your own home there. And so if you have a hard time getting on the email list, you can on the website, you can call our church office at 783-8062, and we can help you with that. Also, the other way that you can listen to us is by watching us on Facebook Live at Cog Family Community. And so you can watch us that way. The recording off the web page is just audio only. So it's also posted later on this morning. So those are the ways that you can listen to it. Also, on our church email list, our COG list, our COG list, will be the questions from the message. And so those are already posted on there if you want to answer those after you listen to the message. The other thing is, I just want to thank people for their giving. Giving is an important thing to maintain, especially in times like this. Not only does it, of course, help the ministry, but it's important for us to be continuing to sow into the ministry, because when you give, you're pulling from what you have to give to this, and that's an expression of your faith. That's an expression of your love for God. And so, when you give, when you trust God with your finances, it positions you to have God do a work in your finances and in your situation. And so, that builds your faith, and faith is important right now with all that's going on. And so, it's important. So, thank you for your giving. If you want to host us in recording at your home, just give us a call at 783-8062, and we'll work out an arrangement with you. The only thing that we need for recording the Bible study and the sermon at your home is you need to make sure that you have good cellular reception. So as long as you have that, we should be good to record at your home. So those are the announcements. Let me open us up in prayer, and we'll get into the Word here. So, Father, we thank you for our time this morning. Lord, we thank you for your Word. Lord, we thank you for the rich truths that are in it. Father, I thank you that in a time of great instability, that your Word is stable. Your Word is true. Your Word is unchanging. And because of that, Lord, we can stand on it when everything else seems to just cause us to not have a good foothold. The minute something looks like it's starting to stabilize, it gets unstable again. But your Word's not like that. It's always true. It's always good. It's always reliable. And we can count on it. We can always count on you. And I thank you, Lord, that in spite of everything that's going on, you are still in control. You are all powerful. And so not only can we trust you, we can place our confidence in you. And I thank you for you, God. I thank you for who you are. I thank you for what you did in sending Jesus to die for us. We just give you all the praise and the glory. Lord, I pray that as we look into your Word now, Father, that you would just be speaking to our hearts and minds and saying to us, Lord, the things that you want to say through what we talk about today. Come have your way with us, Lord, as we talk and listen now. And I just pray all this in your mighty and matchless name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, with all that we've been facing in the last 6 months, it's really good to go back to certain basics. The basics of who we really are and the basics of what we believe. You know, so much is coming at us through the media, in our conversations with one another, and it hits us in what we think, in what we feel, and what we believe. And depending on who we're listening to, we can get sucked in and pulled down to a place that we as believers really don't need to be in, and not even realize what's happening to us. because of the relationship that we have with those that we talk to, because of how we feel about those people, and what they say will either resonate with us or stir us emotionally. We know that there are things that are wrong in the world. We have strong feelings about what we see and hear right now. We have our feelings about what we see potentially on the horizon. And so some things we hear get our attention, whether we want them to or not. It weighs on us. It gets in our heads. Our thoughts then generate things which produce the feelings that follow. And we can then find ourselves in a place that's not good emotionally. We don't like where we are. We wonder how we got there. And we don't know what we can do about it. 1 Corinthians 6:12 says, "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything." Some things get in us, true or not, but they may not be good for us. Some things get into us, and they become more than something that we hear. They get in us, and they take root, and they grow in us, and they take us down a road in our minds, in our thoughts, in our emotions. Even though they may be true, they may not be good for us. Now, I'm not saying that we should be a people that stick our heads in the sand and pretend that nothing is wrong, but that also doesn't mean that we need to listen to everything we hear. The best way to deal with all that we hear, whether true or lie, is to line it up against that which is real truth. We need to line it up against God's Word. Go back to Him and go back to the basics of our faith and line ourselves up with that. And see and hear these things that come at us from a position of spiritual strength that comes from our relationship with Jesus and our being aligned with Him. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." When Paul, who wrote Romans, wrote it, he hadn't been to Rome yet. Now, he knew many of the believers there, and so this is more like a letter to the believers that he knew there. The letter represents his understanding of the gospel, and it's a letter to those people based on his understanding of Scripture and his knowledge of them. It's a letter also of an introduction to himself to the church there that he never met. Romans is considered to be the greatest explanation and description of the Christian principles and teachings that we believe. In the previous chapters of Romans, Paul lays out the plan and the way to salvation through Jesus. So when he starts off chapter 12 with "therefore," he's saying, "therefore, because of the previous chapters, because of the things that I've said about salvation," he then urges believers, by the mercies of God, to, in other words, the mercies of God being by all the benefits of God, those things that are brought to us as Christians because of what Jesus did for us. And us being believers means that we have partaken of those things. We have received those things what Jesus did. And therefore, because of what Jesus did, and because we've accepted it, because we've received it, let us respond appropriately, by presenting ourselves to Him, to Jesus, as living sacrifices. Since we are God's people, you know, we offer sacrifices today. I just talked about tithing. You know, they offered sacrifices back in the Old Testament times too. But there's a difference between the sacrifices that we give today and the sacrifices that they gave back then. In the Old Testament, man was offering animal sacrifices, and they were offering other things as well, not only to our God and other people to their gods. And they've been doing this for a long time. Our first record of this goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 4 with Cain and Abel. But you know, there's no mention of God requiring it. They just did it. As man got more and more wicked after Cain, these practices moved more and more away from God and what He intended. When we get to the flood, when we get to Noah, we see after the flood the offering up of clean animal sacrifices to God. Certain animals that were set aside for the purpose of sacrifice. A practice, again, that was going on before the flood with Cain and Abel. God relates to us from where we are in order to lead us forward. So God commanded animal sacrifices as a way of helping his people to stop worshiping false idols and demons. But also, you know, God doesn't need our sacrifices. We do. We need to give them. Sacrifices are a reminder of the consequences of sin. It's a picture of what Jesus would do on the cross for us. Centuries before he came to die. But by the time he came, the concept of consequences for sin was so ingrained in God's people already. The problem that they had was that they didn't always see what they did as sin. And, you know, God also didn't need sacrifices to forgive sin either. For example, with David and Bathsheba, David took someone else's wife, had that person murdered, and God forgave him, and he never did give a sacrifice. God didn't ask for one. And David was so consumed with what he did when he did those things that he really didn't see fully what he was doing. When we get to what Jesus did, his death represents the repairing of a broken covenant between man and God that man broke. Jesus came as a man and dies to restore the broken relationship from man's sin and rebellion. Jesus' death also represents Jesus giving his all, sacrificing himself for the sake of our relationship with God. You know, this is Jesus' self-sacrifice. So going back to these verses in Romans 1 and 2, it says, give your all to the relationship. Have you ever heard the phrase, sacrifice of praise? It's giving your all in worship. It's expressing your heart, your love, your gratitude to God. Let me give you another example. Putting it in more modern times, and I just mentioned this a minute ago, when we tithe. Tithing is giving of what is important to us. It's giving of God from what we need, from what we have as an expression of our love and our gratitude and a demonstrating of our faith and our trust in God. In other words, it's more than lip service. Hence the phrase, put your money where your mouth is. We can say we love God, but one of the things that tests that love for God is, are you willing to give your money to it? In the Old Testament, they offered up animal sacrifices when they sinned, and they offered them according to their religious calendar. And they did, and so this was a regular practice that they did. But God wants our hearts, okay? He doesn't want an animal sacrifice anymore. He wants us. He wants our hearts. And so whenever we give, he wants us to give out of our love. He wants us to give out of our gratitude. He wants us to give out of our devotion to him. He wants us. He doesn't want some dead animal on the altar. He wants us as a person. He wants us a living sacrifice. And being a living sacrifice needs to be regular, because this is an expression of our relationship to him. See, relationships need to be fed to stay alive, and we need to do this. Not just with God, but we do this with all of our relationships. They need to be fed by our giving into them through the time that we put into them, the attention we give into them, the various things that we do to the other with the others in that relationship. And when we give regularly to them, they thrive. When we give of ourselves into our relationship with God, it thrives as well. From our investment, God already has given his all into it by sending Jesus. He does, however, respond to our putting into it. We are God's people. which means set apart for him, which is another word for holy. It's kind of like a husband and a wife. That particular man and particular woman are set apart relationally for their relationship that they're in. It's not that man with another woman, and it's not that woman with another man. But those two specifically set aside for each other, exclusively. And so it's like that. Holy means set apart. And so each of us has a specific relationship with God. Each person's relationship is unique to us. It's between us and God. It's our relationship with Him. And one of the things that unites us is that we, all of us believers, have in common is a unique, special, committed relationship with God. And so he says a living and holy sacrifice. When we come into a saving relationship with Jesus, he becomes our Lord. In that moment, we move from living for us to living for him. And we do this out of love and desire to give back, not only out of love, but also of gratitude for Jesus saving our lives for all eternity. I give myself to him. I sacrifice myself to him. But it's not the same as like in the Old Testament, because I'm not killed and thrown on the altar. I'm not a sacrifice to be burned like they did with the animals in the Old Testament and the other things that they put on the altar. It says here, it says a living sacrifice in Romans 12. We give our lives to him. He saved us and he changes us. And as we do this, we come more and more in line with how we are supposed to be, how we were originally made, how God designed us to be. Now, part of the process that we believers enter upon salvation is a process of restoring us back to God's original design that sin messed up. We call this sanctification, and it's a process continually going on in us. He lives in us, he changes us, and he works through us. And because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, we now present ourselves to him as acceptable. We are now allowed. We're agreed on. We now fit the requirement because of what Jesus did. What Jesus did for us will do the job. What Jesus did for us on the cross. And our receiving what he did makes us acceptable to God from the sin that separates us from him. Now, verse 1 ends with this. It says, which is your spiritual service of worship? Spiritual service means giving ourselves as a living sacrifice. Again, not a dead sacrifice, but a living sacrifice set aside for him for relationship. And this is now sufficient. It fits for God. It works for him because of what Jesus did. So we can give ourselves to him, which is our spiritual service of worship. So when we talk about worship, this is our spiritual response to him. Worship is our response to God. And we worship through a lot of different things. We worship God in our relationship. We worship God in our expressions from our heart to him, with our singing, our declaring, and in the things we do. We do this in our service to him. We do this in our giving. We worship in a lot of different ways. And so because of this relationship, it's an expression of our heart. And we do this. We do this, and we do not do what verse 2 says in becoming conformed to this world. Because we're living for Jesus now. Jesus is dying for us, being the sacrifice to pay the price for our sin. Just like the sacrifice of the Old Testament were for their sins. Therefore, we are cleansed of our sin. Our sins no longer create a barrier between us and God because Jesus has died for them. And so because of this, in God's eyes, those sins are gone. They're wiped away. And so what Paul is saying is don't go back to them. Don't go back to the old way. Because it's not who you are anymore. Verse 1 is the foundation for verse 2. Verse 1, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So, world in verse 2 means age. It refers to a system that does not have God in it. We as God's people are not to conform to things that are not godly. Let me give you an example. I moved to the East Bay from north of here. I had friends there. So when I moved down here to the East Bay, I would at first, when I first made the move, I would go back and visit my friends quite often. Sometimes I went every week, sometimes I went every other week, sometimes I went once a month, depending on things, but I would visit a lot. But over time, my friends and their lives where I used to live went on. Eventually, I stopped going up there and fully embraced my new life here in the East Bay. See, the life of my friends was no longer my life. I had moved. I was no longer a part of that life there. And the more and more I visited, I related to them and their lives less and less. Until finally, I stopped going up there. Because it wasn't me anymore. And this is like us in the world. But the other thing is this. In this time of all that's gone on in the last 6 months, we're starting to hear a bit less about the virus, but it's still out there. And there's still fear. And many of the restrictions are still in place. The fires are being put out, the smoke is clearing, but we still have rioting. And we're having fear of the flu season mixed with COVID-19, and that's being put out in front of us now. And now there's the fears over the election in November. Irregardless of who you're for, there's fear. There's fear of a resurgence of rioting. There's fear of an ugly war for the White House, an election that will be a chaotic battle, and the election process tampered with, and it goes on and on and on. And as Christians, we all struggle with getting caught up in the temptations of the world. And we struggle with getting caught up in the temptation to slip into fear. And trying to not get caught up in them and not conforming to them. And we try to not conform to them with our honesty and our integrity and our morality and our purity and our love for one another and our forgiving one another. We in trying to be good Christians and exercising good Christian discipline. But that battle to not conform isn't just about our not conforming and indulging in the things that we see out there. There's another battle. It's in our minds. It's in our emotions. As we face things that I've mentioned, it causes us to take our eyes off Jesus, who's standing right next to us, and walk away without realizing it, and picking up those things of the world's systems that we are instantly grabbed with. Our feelings of powerlessness, our frustrations over it, we get angry, we get scared, we start to worry. We do this before these things have even happened. We take our eyes off of Jesus as our Savior and God, who is in control and is all powerful, and we worry and are fearful because we can't fix this situation that we don't like. As we try to act like and be good Christians. And we don't see that our fear is also because we have left God behind in the present. And that we have jumped into the future that hasn't even happened yet. And we've decided the outcome. And in that moment, we're playing God. In that moment, we have conformed to this world of fear and worry. And we stop acting like who we are. And we start acting like who we are not. And we don't see that we've done that. And Paul says, this is not who you are. Don't be conformed to who you're not. But, as verse 2 says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Focusing on Him. Focusing on Him changes us. Connecting with Him, encountering Him, hearing Him, and not these other things. So that you may prove what the will of God is in your thoughts, in your attitude, which will then impact the words that you say and the actions that you do. See, the outer expression needs to come from what is going on inside of us. Our transformation from our relationship impacts us. It changes us and it maintains us in our walk, in our thoughts, in our attitudes, in our words and our actions. Which is our walk. And our walk proves the reality of God through us as His witnesses. With our minds renewed, which needs to be an ongoing thing because we're still in the world and we are continually bombarded by the things in it. And so we need to keep engaging God to stay on track with Him as these things of the world continue to come in. So we can stay kingdom people in the world. Kingdom meaning the rule and reign of Christ in us. And us bringing it into the world because of our being committed to the ideals of God's kingdom. And glorifying God. We give Him glory. Our lives as His witnesses need to give Him glory. His light in us needs to be shining in the darkness in our world. Matthew 28, 19 and 20 says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you." Matthew 22, 37 through 39, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Verse 37 is talking again about God having all of us. He wants all of you. And so we need to love God and we need to love others. And because people will know us by our love. And then that other verse talks about making disciples. Helping believers grow. Helping believers mature. Helping them to walk out in their lives what Jesus told us. Our minds need to be renewed, and they're renewed through our relationship with Him, through our intimacy with Him, through our encounter with Him, you know, encountering Him, you know, being in His presence, getting in His Word and letting Him and it change us so that it proves the will of God. Prove here in this verse where it says... so that you may prove what the will of God is. Prove here means to test. It means test to prove by practice. To prove by practice in our lives that His will is good. His will is acceptable. His will is perfect. Good means that which is honorable, that which is beneficial to you, and is beneficial to His will. You know, His good is that which is rich and full. There is so much in the goodness of God. It's moral, it's right, and it's pleasing. It's pleasing to God because God wants the best for us. And so when we are in the goodness of God, and we're experiencing the goodness of God, and we're going after that, it pleases Him because God loves you. And He says, you know what, this is good for you, and it pleases me that you're going after it because I want you to have my goodness. It says also it's acceptable, which means it's pleasing, it's good enough, and because it is good enough, it's welcomed. And then perfect. Perfect means complete and mature. You showing good in your words and ways, you walking it out to prove it. This gives you a testimony of what His Word does for you and showing the world that it is true and that it works and they need it because the light in you confronts their darkness. And it doesn't just give you a testimony. You are a testimony. But you can't do it and be that if you're compromised. 2 Corinthians 4:4-6 says, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they may not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. I mean, does that not sound like the world right now? The world needs the witness of Jesus in us because the people out there are blinded. And this is talking about the unbelievers. They need to become believers to come out of their blindness. How can we help them out of their blindness if we're blinded? Verse 5, for we do not preach ourselves but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants. For Jesus' sake, for God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. The one remaining constant in all that has gone on in the last 6 months is fear. In all these different things up till now, the virus, the economy, the fires, the protests, the riots, the election, it has generated fear. Now, whose arsenal is that from? The devil. But we are committed, intentional servants of God. We are serving out of love for the sake of what Jesus stands for and did for us. We need to be shining the light of Jesus in our lives and with everyone we see. And that's hard to do if we're under the effects of the world. So it's time to get back to the basics. We need to look at ourselves and ask who we've been under, who we have been serving these last 6 months. Have we been serving Jesus? Have we been serving fear? Have we been serving the world's systems? We need to be renewing our minds regularly. We need to be demonstrating the love and ways of Jesus. We need to adapt the words from that song that say, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that in a world gone crazy, that you give us an option. We don't have to be slaves of fear. We can walk in confidence. We can walk in boldness. We can walk in faith. We can walk in peace because of you. All of this stuff that's going on is not more powerful than you. Lord, I pray that you would help us to give the control in our hearts back to you from the fear that we have empowered. God, I thank you that you give us an option. And I thank you that it's a lot better option than what's going on right now. Lord, help us to see the areas where we've come under fear in our lives so that we can give it all to you and really truly be that living sacrifice and not a fearful one. Not just for our sake, but so the world may know. Because the world needs you. And you have entrusted us with your message. You've entrusted us with being your witnesses. Help us to be the light in a time of great darkness. And I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before you go, I posted some questions on our church email list, and so you can go there and you can look at those, but let me read them for you right now. So the first question is, where and how have you been taking in things that have not been good for you in your witness? How would you label your spiritual sacrifice of worship these last 6 months? Who is transforming you, the world or God? if you were to be graded on what Jesus told us to do in Matthew 28 and Matthew 22, what grade would you get and why? How bright is your light shining in the darkness? In what ways can you make your light shine and keep it shining? And lastly, how can your life give glory to God in our world? So God bless you, and thank you for listening and watching, and we'll see you again next week.